A blood wedding in Wensleydale and the house of Biliquis Bilby were one of those features of cast that regularly keep frequenting the Hale Rooms Inn or the Hales Inn. And that might give you some indication to the fact that we're at the Harrogate Theatre with the fabulous
Emma McDowell.
Emma, good to connect with your good self. This is a really wonderful part of Harrogate.
Absolutely, yeah, no, we're really, really lucky to actually be right in the centre of Harrogate, and we're sort of trying our best, and we've just had a recent refurbishment the theatre has, and it's we've been able to sort of share, because of our position, share the theatre to with everyone, and the history behind it and the work that we do.
We were hearing earlier that 150 years ago or so, there was Low Harrogate, there was High Harrogate, there the train should meet, then suddenly the railway was built, and suddenly it's all one wonderful conurbation connection, really. How far does the theatre stretch back in time?
Well, we've just celebrated this year our 110th birthday. We actually opened on the 13th of January 1900, so it's quite a special birthday this year. So we've been doing, we've had sort of quite a lot of celebrations to celebrate that birthday. So we've been around a long time, certainly, absolutely.
Simon?
You've just told us you've been here for quite a long time. As we stand,
it's 110 years, I don't know, she's had some. She's been taking the waters, clearly.
Just looking around in this lovely lobby area, the artwork and the roof. Could you tell us a little bit more about the art in the building and the tradition there?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said before, we've been through a recent refurbishment to try and make the theatre look like what it looked like when it first opened in the 1900s. And so we've really gone for that kind of plush. When it first opened, it was very plush. It boasted the finest furnishings and all the sort of latest mod cons. So we tried our best to really replicate that as the classiness of the building, I suppose, right through to the main auditorium, which I hope we'll be able to go through to in a minute. And as you can see, the most striking, as we stand here in the foyer, the most striking kind of feature is in fact the wonderful frieze that depicts images of back from the Romantic era, really. And that was actually sculpted by Francis Darlington, who lived here a very long time ago. We think it probably was sculpted around the 1920s, and she also did a frieze in with some detail in the Wesley Chapel, which is a chapel just down the road. So we're very proud of that in particular.
And in terms of box office sensations, I mean, clearly we mentioned obviously the Bollywood musical that's in full force there. I noticed that Rodney Bewes, ex-Lighty Lad, is coming through the system. Lots of interesting things coming through for the season.
Absolutely, certainly. We do boast quite a varied programme, actually, and we try our best to sort of cater to as many tastes as possible. So, as you can see, we use poster space everywhere, and we're very lucky to be able to sort of house the best in sort of comedy, particularly, but also one-nighters, drama, music, and we've got some ballet and opera this season. It's all available on our website, so you can check out all our latest sort of up and coming shows. But yes, it is quite a varied programme, and certainly the House of Bilquis Bibby, which you mentioned earlier, we're very, very happy to be able to co-produce with them at North Country Theatre for a blood wedding in Wensleydale. So we've got some exciting projects in the pipeline.
I'm already sensing an energy and a dynamism, Emma, that clearly you've brought to the whole routine here, which is fantastic, and congratulations on that, because believe me, there are one or two areas in our little ronde around Harrogate where no names, but I think the listener will be able to say, where's the energy, Simon? Where's the energy?
It wasn't there, to say the least.
Exactly. It's a different,
but we found it here. So.
Precisely. It makes up in abundance, really, Emma. Do you get a chance from your own point of view to sit back and relax and sort of think when the show's curtains goes up, everything's all right? Or is it just a case of, I don't know what's happening, move on to the next one? We're thinking 2011 now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, certainly there is always a lot going on, and certainly I work in marketing, and we sort of always have to work ahead of ourselves, as do the other departments as well. I suppose the biggest kind of sigh of relief is when our panto goes up. We have a panto every year that we produce. It's a truly traditional pantomime with original design and original set and also original script as well. So I suppose there's a sigh of relief with that.
No sporting ex-husbands and Australian soap stars in there?
Not that immediately spring to mind, but no.
Traditional pantomime, amazing.
Absolutely. And for example, we've got, so we're really lucky to have such a great cast. We've just actually announced our cast this year, and we've got one of our actors who plays the sort of Silly Billy character in every panto. It's his 11th panto at Harrogate Theatre, and he's an absolute star up here. It's Tim Steadman, and everyone absolutely loves him, and he's so brilliant at what he does, and he's so passionate about panto, as all the cast are. And so we've got a pretty all-star cast from sort of past pantomimes at Harrogate Theatre and in Yorkshire, so we're really lucky to have a great team behind.
You're already tempting us to actually make a return visit in the winter months. So I tell you what, Emma, we're in your hands. Where do you want to take us now?
Probably best actually to head up to the sort of Circle Bar and the Circle Bar landing, and then we can go into the main auditorium if you'd like.
Let's follow you and we'll absolutely sort of work our way through this. We'll keep the machine actually running as we work our way through this. I see the official rope is now going to be put to one side. Excellent. Effortlessly done there, Emma. I can see you've done this before.
Absolutely. We did actually have a Heritage Open Day last year, and I did sort of about 12 tours in a row. So
really, you can almost go on automatic pilot, really, I would have thought. So perhaps not.
Well, I mean, every tour is sort of different because different people are interested in different parts of the building. I mean, we've got sort of the history is so brilliant to talk about, and then also obviously the work as well. So, you know, if anyone does want a tour of the building, we're always happy to open our doors to that.
The history of performance, the history of drama, it's something which is becoming more and more popular, certainly in undergraduate circles. I know at Lincoln University we have our drama performance degree and so on, and this is one of those key areas that, you know, getting an appreciation for the sense of history is just so important.
Oh, absolutely, certainly. And I think, for example, when we were talking about Panto earlier, I mean, I think there's always a need for a real appreciation of that as an art form in particular, and as a sort of truly British art form as well. And I think to have that kind of extra sort of knowledge of the theatre, history of performance, but also history of the performers and companies, I think it always just makes the experience better, I think, really.
How did you get into the whole role yourself, Emma? What was the background which brought you here to Harrogate, as opposed to the Palladium, Leicester Square, other sort of aspects of the British stage?
Well, I suppose I tried my best really to kind of look for a job that suited, as this is my first sort of full-time job, I suppose, in marketing in particular. I've always been very, very interested in theatre and sort of studied it at sort of university and college. And I think it's just something that if you know an arts industry and you've done some work experience, and you know that that's the industry for you, really. And I sort of just applied for jobs, and Harrogate came up. I sort of lived in York for a while, so I'm sort of know the area very well. And I mean, it's just the theatre, really. It does so much great stuff, and the job was a great opportunity to get involved, get stuck in, literally doing all sorts of very strange things.
And a name check for your university?
We did a drama and French at University of Birmingham, and then an MA in cultural policy at Goldsmiths.
So from Birmingham to London, Simon.
That's all. I can't think of anything that springs to mind at the moment.
Well, we're just heading our way into the circle area, so a very important part in this particular area here. The wonderful key fob that gains access to all manner of marvellous things here. Emma. Clearly it's the guided routine. Oh, already, that's a very impressive view. Very marvellous view. We'll certainly have to take a couple of photographs of this particular area here for our website here. And yes, I think we're definitely in theatre land here, Emma.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've just sort of walked into the circle sort of landing of the theatre. The stalls, which is downstairs, the circle, which is the first floor, and we can't see at the moment, the balcony is right at the very top. And, you know, it's quite a sort of mid-scale theatre, seats about 500 people, but back in the day when it first opened, it actually seated over 1,300 people. So it's quite considerably more spacious than it was.
Presumably had to have added space for tomatoes and various other things there, perhaps.
Well, I mean, I think the chairs have got bigger and there's been a bit more breathing space. I think they were probably crammed in quite a lot back in the day. But as well, also, that there was quite a lot of refurbishment that has happened sort of over the years, over the 110 history. The building has changed quite significantly. So
we hear a great deal about theatre. It's dying, it's living, it's dying, it's never going to go away. I mean, my general sense here is actually this is very much at the heartland of the cultural life of West Yorkshire, surely. I mean, in addition to obviously the major playhouses, Leeds and New York, Scarborough, clearly, this is a nice area to ensure not only have you got the quality of the antiques industry, the spa and so on, but you've also got this very much key aspect of the cultural arts in form as well.
Absolutely, and we do certainly pride ourselves to being sort of a leading cultural provider in Yorkshire, and we work quite well with sort of all the other venues as well. But I think theatre's always had it very, very difficult in terms of, you know, when television and radio first came into sort of the public eye and was used more and more as a form of entertainment. Mm. You know, theatre, there was a major dip, and this theatre actually shut for a few years. Mm. And again, also, there's been sort of history, you know, at the moment we're all kind of holding bated breath, I mean the cultural scene in general, just to see, you know, how funding is going to pan out.
80% cut, some at least.
But I mean,
only,
you know,
kidding.
Oh, let's hope not. But well, I mean, you know, it's just something that you've got to sort of live with. I think any business really has that sort of receives public funding.
And to be fair, you can really judge a country's health in both a mental and perhaps a physical sense from the range and state and quality of its cultural aspects as well. So, I mean, the two things need to exist and coexist. And if we are going to see cuts, which inevitably we are, we just hope that sense will prevail.
Absolutely, certainly. And I think audiences always will talk as well in terms of, you know, if you're having good audience figures. We've just sort of celebrated a record-breaking year with box office, and we're looking at sort of an average of a 75% capacity. You know, and similarly in National Theatre, I think have just boasted a very high sort of average capacity. It just shows that people do come to the theatre, and it is different from cinema, it's different from television, it's different from radio, it's different from all kinds of internet, you know, it's a completely different experience, and that's always going to remain, I think. A live performance is always going to be a pull.
You don't find in these days of multimedia, PlayStation-oriented Wii playing games that somehow attention spans can sometimes wander in various ways?
I don't, actually. And I think sort of theatre, as opposed to people having to learn how to come to the theatre, I think more theatre needs to learn how to keep people's attention. And if that's becoming more challenging, then so be it. I think I certainly think that that's something that should always be at the forefront of, and this is a personal kind of opinion, but always be at the forefront of theatre makers' minds, is that you have to try your best to engage people in as many different ways and more interesting ways as possible. So I think we certainly have a challenge. Yeah, absolutely.
Audience engagement is key. Simon, when was the last time you went to live theatre?
Live theatre, wow.
This is an English graduate from the University of Belmont in America, so a crucial question.
We used to have quite a few productions at university I would go to. So I'd probably say this year. I've been this year.
Well, that's a reasonable answer. Yeah. But we'd like more, wouldn't we, Emma?
Well, I think it's a personal taste as well. I mean, quite frankly, some people go to the cinema more, some people go to theatre more. I have never been to a football match. And some people would say that was one of the best experiences you can have, you know. And
it's a form of theatre in itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think theatre has something to learn from football crowds. You know, but it's a personal taste, really. And also, I suppose it depends on where you live and, you know, what theatres you have available. And Harrogate Theatre will always very much take that kind of, you know, we're here and we're doing, you know, interesting work, and come along and affordable prices. We try our best to sort of get rid of any barriers that might be sort of foreseen for people not going to the theatre. But by no stretch of the imagination are we thinking that you're not cultured if you don't come to the theatre. I mean, that's just a ridiculous thing to think.
It's really a Leavisite position, and F.R. Leavis had his time in the 1950s, but really, is there a place for F.R. Leavis in the 21st century and a canon of text? I don't know.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think really what we've tried to do here and what our programming sort of tries to reflect is a much varied programme in order to attract as many different audiences of ages and sort of experiences as possible.
And you mentioned the web address, as this is obviously going out on southsidebroadcasting.com. Would you like to share the web address that people can go to find out more about the Harrogate Theatre?
Yes, absolutely. It's www.harrogatetheatre.co.uk. We do also have our Panto microsite as well, which has got a little
Panto microsite.
Absolutely, yeah, it's a little bit more. We're in the 21st century now, but a little bit more of a kind of insight into Panto in particular and how it's made and how we sort of and all that kind of process behind that, really. And that's harrogatetheatre.co.uk/panto. So please do visit.
And traditional pantomime, insofar as villains entering from the left, the sinister side, the sinister, and the classic lines from that perspective, very much building on the morality tales of the history of the thing, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned previously, you know, Harrogate Theatre, we really do pride ourselves in having a truly traditional panto, and so all of that, absolutely, all the coming in on the different sides, depending if you're good or bad. Obviously, we have the main sort of the principal girl and the principal boy is played by a girl and all of that kind of tradition. It does very much stick with
some thigh slapping, perhaps.
Somewhat, sorry.
Thigh slapping.
Thigh slapping. Absolutely. And we've got Lara Denning.
I don't know what you thought I said there, Emma.
I think you said fire slapping. Oh. I was a bit confused. We've got Lara Denning, who's going to be our principal boy, who's going to obviously be playing Dick Whittington this year. She's very good at thigh slapping. Yes, she's always puts that in as much as possible.
I was going to say it's a crucial part, and clearly, given that it's Dick Whittington, there is another line I can use there, but I won't. You'll be pleased to know. It's not that kind of pantomime. Where are you going to take us now, Emma?
I'll just take you down and we'll just have a little bit more of a look at the auditorium, if that's okay.
Well, I wasn't aware, Emma, that you also had major aerobic fitness sessions built in to your work here as marketing officer at Harrogate Theatre. But you've just taken us on quite a little tour, which entailed lots of lovely step work in a 5, 6, 7, 8 routine, which has brought us to the flying floor.
Absolutely, I know. Unfortunately, that's one of the things of being in such an old building is we can't install a lift. But yes, I mean, we're right up now, up on sort of the top of the, above the stage, onto our fly floor, which is where the sets, sort of the cloths, etc., are lowered onto the stage. If, you know, a cloth might have sort of a background painted on it, or sort of to set the scene.
Peter Pan might want to fly across the stage.
Absolutely. Well, we haven't actually flown anyone recently because Harrogate Theatre is actually one of three venues in the country that has a fully working hemp rope system for our fly floor. And this is something that we are very sort of proud of. But obviously it is quite sort of impractical in some sort of senses of the word. A lot of the other theatres sort of use an electric or a counterweight system to lower set onto stage. But as you can see, we have sort of over 20 cleats, which are used to sort of wrap the hemp rope round to keep things suspended above the stage. And it's very reminiscent of sailing and sailors, and certainly back in the day when this system was actually created. It was created in Bristol, obviously a port town, and a lot of sailors actually did a lot of the lowering and hiring, I suppose, of the sets onto stage. And so that's where the tradition that you can't whistle on stage comes from, because obviously they used whistling as a form of cueing things to happen. And if you whistle on stage, then you might accidentally cue someone to lower a piece of set onto your head. So,
which of course might be the intention in some performers' cases where they really haven't been up to standard. You just think, just for goodness sake, get him off somehow, get him off.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we don't use sailors anymore, and unfortunately, I'm sure they've got more important things to do, like sailboats.
I don't know. When we're covering the London Boat Show, Emma, consider yourself duly invited to come along with us, and you can ask that very question.
I shall indeed. We have quite a wonderful team of a technical team behind the productions that we put on here, and certainly for Panto, as I mentioned previously, one of our produced shows, we'll pretty much use every sort of cloth, I suppose, to the extreme, because there's a lot of sort of changing scenes and things like that. And this will be sort of where there will all of the hard work will happen. And it is certainly something you have to be very, very strong to lift one of these cloths, because they are very very heavy indeed. And
working out well, somebody who's committed to his health and indeed isn't out of breath at all by bounding up those steps three at a time to get here, because he's a keen golfer, in fact former England international golfer, and he wasn't doing his degree at the University of Belmont. Simon, your thoughts and questions?
There must be thousands of feet of rope here. Do you know roughly how much rope you have here?
Oh, it's a very, very good question. Unfortunately, I don't, but it is obviously, it has to be quite a considerable amount, because we're quite high up, a considerable height. That's really a fact I shall definitely ask my technical team, and might pop that on the website as an answer. But as you can see, each of the cloths have got four ropes that are attached to them, and so each sort of lowering and hiring has to be done through four ropes. And that's also because the metal bar above which the cloths are suspended is malleable. It can actually be moved in order to kind of tweak the set. They might want to pull bits up or lower bits down. So it is a job that you have to be very, very skilled, I think, to do. And certainly lowering it does require, safely as well, does require quite a considerable practice.
I was thinking of those three words that send fear down the spines of many a theatre producer: health and safety.
Well, certainly I know back in the day when theatres were burning down willy-nilly, and that was just because I suppose the lighting that they used back in the day was candles or sort of they might use maybe
open Bunsen burners.
Absolutely. Well, burning calcium oxide was another way that they used to light the stage, and that's actually where that used to do. So obviously calcium oxide is lime, and that's where the being in the limelight tradition came from. Now we do have we have slightly safer lights, so this actual entire section of the theatre can be cut off completely in order if a fire was to happen on stage. We have a fire curtain which should obviously protect the audience. One of the best ways, if a cloth caught fire, the best ways to sort of extinguish the flame, as you can see over there, we have an axe, which is a little bit ominous, and that's not to threaten anyone. That's actually to...
Motivation, I would have thought.
If
you don't get this performance right, if you don't know those lines, we'll send the axe man after you.
Oh, it does seem a little bit tough to have it right there, but that actually would cut the ropes if a fire was to... That would obviously be a last resort, because if you have fire extinguishers, and we would probably just lower it to extinguish the flame. But, there are always health and safety issues to take into consideration, and certainly in such an old building as well. It's always worth being as careful as possible. Yeah,
like you said, it's quite a skilled job, lowering the ropes and stuff. Do you have to train people specially for this, or?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a team of sort of casual staff that might come along. The only real time that we would need a full team would be during Panto, just because of the extent of the work. So yes, we do have sort of a team that will come back every year, and they'll go through a training session, absolutely, just to. As we mentioned previously, it's quite difficult to get it right.
Interesting nomenclature, though, where you say use of casual staff, the notion of actors being on stage thinking, I don't want people who just don't want to treat it as a casual job. Goodness sakes, I want professionals.
Oh dear, I meant more in sort of terms of the times of the actual job as opposed to, we don't, obviously they're not sort of full time, well, they'll work full time. When I say full time, obviously over Panto, I mean it's
okay. It's okay, you get the general idea. It's okay, sure. Relax.
Good.
Where are you going to take us now?
I shall take us up sort of along the corridor and up to wardrobe, actually. And that's right at at the very, very top of the building. Ooh. But you can have a little bit more of an idea of how the wardrobe department and the sort of design of the play would come to life.
The wonderful thing about theatre magic is that it is magic, and even when you go backstage, as we're lucky enough to be doing today with Emma from the Harrogate Theatre, you still get a sense of the grease paint. Oh, it's just the stairs, Emma. But where are we now?
We are, in fact, in the very, very top of the building. Are we pleased to know? No more stairs. This is the wardrobe department. So this is where the costume magic happens. Nicola, our wardrobe manager, is actually at the moment, as you can see from those designs over there on that wall and those designs there, it's for the panto. And those are obviously costumes that are very, very elaborate and colourful. And so costumes that would take a very, very long time to prepare. So she's been working very, as you can see, we're surrounded by bits and pieces of cloth and needles, and there's a pin cushion hanging from the ceiling, which I think must be of some use.
Well, it's nothing to do with the possible voodoo and artistes to proving particularly difficult there.
No, I don't think so. I hope not, anyway. But, I mean, as you can see, we are, as I mentioned previously, we do sort of co-produce a lot of shows, and we produce our panto. But, of course, a lot of our co-productions involves us in actually... creating set in particular. We actually have a workshop in Starbeck, not very far away from here, where we do construct sets both for our co-productions and our productions, but also for other theatres as well. And so that's sort of our offering quite often for co-productions. But we do sometimes, produce other shows as well, especially for youth theatre shows. We had the BFG this summer, and there are costumes obviously to produce for that. And we have in the past obviously produced quite a lot of costumes. And so we do have quite, not very much space, but it's absolutely crammed full of all sorts of costumes.
So you just actually coined the next stage, which is Southside Broadcasting moves into theatrical production with BFG Big Friendly Golfer, not Big Friendly Giant. See what we're doing there? Marvellous. What do you think, Simon?
Definitely a Big Friendly Golfer. Yeah. Just looking at some of the designs for the costumes, they are very elaborate and colourful, like you said. Taking into consideration the personality of the characters in the plays and stuff, what else do you look for when you're designing a costume?
Well, I mean, certainly the designer, Helen, who for the panto, she's sort of designed not only the costume, but she's designed the set as well and the sort of the whole look of the piece. And again, going back to that truly traditional, but with obviously a little bit of a difference, I suppose, each time. And certainly she'll look at a lot to sort of working with the script writers, who is our chief exec, David Bowne, and the director himself, Phil Lowe. They co-write the panto. So they all sort of work together as a team to kind of create the design and the look and the feel of the piece. And as you can see, it's traditional, but it's not in a time period of any shape or sort of imagination, really. It's completely...
dimensionally transcendental, much like the Doctor's TARDIS.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Oh, that's a fantastically long word. I'm going to have to write that down for future tours.
You could use that in disestablishmentarianism if you wish, Emma.
Fantastic. That, I don't really know. No. If that's completely relevant here. But as you can see, for example, I'm just looking now. We've got 8 designs, and that is for one panto dame called Sarah the Cook, which is the Dick Whitting. And I won't give too much away because our wardrobe manager tries her best to keep them as secret as possible until the grand unveiling on the opening night. But you can see there's quite a lot of it. Obviously, Dick Whittington, based in London, there's a lot of like kind of original features that she'll have taken from various different time periods. She's very knowledgeable on all of them. Working with the designer, obviously the designer is very knowledgeable in all these different sort of time periods, and so trying to take as many different features and interesting bits and bobs from those.
And do we get the cat as well?
Absolutely, yeah. You can see just over there that the cat is over there, her costume, and obviously we've got King Rat as well, who's the
crucial
evil villain of the piece. He always has the most elaborate costume.
Tempted to say the Ken Livingstone or Boris Johnson of his day.
Well, absolutely.
Perhaps not.
He is the evil one, certainly. But there's, as you can see, they try the best to kind of be classic, but also, you know, interesting and fun and modern. And that's something that will really make the kids go wow, but also be quality for the adults in the audience as well.
I'm looking out of the skylight here, and I'm seeing a wonderful image that in so many ways just shows Harrogate's skyline off perfectly. What have we got here?
I can't remember the name of the actual thing, but I suppose it's a tower with some panel glassing, which actually depicts the original name of the Harrogate Theatre, the Harrogate Grand Opera House. And obviously back in the day when it was first opened, it was an opera house. Now, obviously, we do a bit of opera, but it's much more just Harrogate Theatre, and that was renamed quite a while ago. But yeah, that's the tower actually glows sort of a red colour, and so if you're around at night time, you can see it for miles. And I think it really sort of fits in with the rest of Harrogate and the sort of buildings, obviously, that are very, very old, the old kind of spa town look. And it, yeah, I mean, that is quite a striking symbol, I suppose, of the theatre. It's kind of going, I'm here in the middle of Harrogate.
So, right, so you get, if they don't know, they won't go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we, as I mentioned right at the beginning of this interview, we're so well placed in terms of where we are in the theatre, in the town, right next to Marks and Spencer's as well, which is...
Other major stores are available, but never mind, Emma. You realise at least one shameless plug for that one.
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'll get some free stuff. Woohoo. It's really great where we're placed, and we try our best, obviously, to work with as many different sort of... We've got a lot of amateur and community touring companies that will come... amateur shows that will come in, and lots of them. I mean, Harrogate is full of the most proactive people and the most creative people. So it's really great to have that geographical kind of placement, but also sort of being at the heart of the community. We try our best to be.
Well, as we were saying at the start, the cultural arts industry, a vital part of any nation's economy, and it's good to see it's alive, well, and thriving in Harrogate.
Absolutely. That's also another sort of thing we have to consider with funding, as well as the investment in the theatre and the return in the economy. And certainly we have a huge economical impact. Mm. It's a very complicated equation to work it out. But, and that obviously we're working with local suppliers, we're working, you know, and also restaurants and people coming to Harrogate, all part of the tourism and culture of the town. And we're sort of very proud, and we're trying our best to sort of work with as many different companies and communities as possible to attract people to the city.
Emma, it's been an absolute delight to actually... It could be a city before too long. Who knows?
Indeed,
city status. Middlesbrough still trying, after all. As we actually work through the final concluding pieces now, I have to say, and I think Simon might actually acknowledge this, that we've had some cracking folk. We've met some cracking folk here in Harrogate today, but I think Emma was shot to the top of the tree, really.
Yep, on the enthusiastic scale, you certainly top it.
Congratulations, Emma. You are today's Southside interviewee of the day.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
And did you say we might be having a look aboard to look outside,
yeah,
to the roof?
Absolutely. Why not? I'll just go through there and open the door. Bear with me a second.
Okay. This could be quite an interesting one. It could be an end all day, Simon, of course, as we begin to go up to the roof here. But if we just grab the camera so we can work on that as well. It's actually on the table here. And we do see light. And we're now actually sort of making our way up to the whole thing from this side of things here. I haven't actually signed any disclaimers here. But
here
we are, as James Taylor might have said, up on the roof. Oh,
this is where we do a lot of our spray painting as well.
I can see that, yes. We'll work our way through that side of things. That's phenomenal. Yes. Very good.
And as you can see from here, you've got a 360 sort of degree of view of the town and all of the rooftops and stuff. It's very Yorkshire, very beautiful.
Well, I was thinking that either that, or I'm thinking the classic Gotham City Spider-Man New York thing. You could actually do all sorts of things here. You're a superhero or a superheroine routine, Emma.
Could indeed. I haven't got a cape there. That's a bit of a trouble.
We'll get that sorted. Well, sadly, it's time for us to wrap up our little mini-podcast in association with Ather & Co. and Pharmanor Nutritional Supplements for Southside Broadcasting and Siren 107.3 FM from the fabulous Harrogate Theatre. Emma, it's been a genuine pleasure, but there's somebody else that you were going to mention, we didn't almost mention, but we need to mention. Who might this person be?
Absolutely. Well, she's one of our very, very important patrons. It's Alice, our theatre ghost, and what theatre would be complete without one, really. She is said to have been an actress that actually fell in love with the director, who didn't love her back. And so
no.
She threw herself off the balcony onto the stalls and is seen sometimes wandering, a grey apparition.
You said you'd catch me.
Absolutely. Well, certainly as well, she's seen about, and I thought maybe we might be able to see her today, but sadly she's a bit shy.
Looked hither and thither, possibly. You know, we need to actually look with her as well, but never mind.
Perhaps. She is quite shy, as I say. She likes to sort of tease her lighting and sound technicians when they're working late at night. She might appear for a bit and...
Well, Alice, if you're there and you're listening to this on a kind of ectoplasmic routine, consider yourself a duly deputised Southsider. Much like yourself, Emma. Emma, it's been fabulous as ever.
Thank you.
We certainly look forward to returning in the not-too-distant future to do various events and the whole thing. And it's a brilliant routine. And hats off to you and the rest of the guys here at the Harrogate Theatre.
Well, thank you very much. And I do hope you have the chance to come and visit at some point. Maybe see something, if you like, if you fancy, in the brochure.